General George Keegan, former head of Air Force Intelligence. Three intriguing points emerge. One, the concept of intense secrecy of particle beam weapons. Two, the mention of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And three, the policy of utilizing bright young geniuses. All of these variables are evident in the FBI files on Tesla reviewed earlier. Great support is lent to the conspiracy hypothesis that Tesla's work and papers were systematically hidden from public view in order to protect the trail of this top-secret research, which today is known as Star Wars. Particle beam weaponry is still more of a dream than a reality at this time in 1996. Therefore, if indeed the inner sanctum of one or both superpowers has access to Tesla's plans, why is it that no death ray has ever been constructed? Perhaps there are prototypes, but it seems to me that they should have been tried out in the field during such wars as Vietnam, Afghanistan, or Kuwait, Iraq. This part of the story must remain a mystery. 48. The Wizard's Legacy. When a man looks back over the events associated with his work, he begins to realize how minor is that part which he himself has played in shaping the events of his career, how overpowering the part played by circumstances utterly beyond his control. Edwin Armstrong, accepting the Edison Medal. As an echo from the Tesla-Morgan affair, Edwin Armstrong had to battle the giant RCA to get FM accepted over AM radio, even though it was a superior means for transmitting music. Colonel David Sarnoff, Napoleonic head of RCA and NBC, had simply pirated his friend's FM invention because he required it for use in television. With the help of CBS, Sarnoff also manipulated the Federal Communications Commission, FCC, to create a stipulation that severely restricted the power of FM transmitters to one-tenth their intended level and shifted the FM band to a less desirable frequency range. That is why AM became the dominant band for long-distance radio transmission. Required to rebuild his own radio station because of the FCC ruling and forced to battle the media Goliath in the courts for patent infringement, Armstrong cashed in his remaining block of RCA stock to finance the enormous expenditure that would be required. Lawyers for NBC were able to persuade the High Court in New York that it was their engineers that invented FM and not Armstrong. Although the Institute of Radio Engineers as a group filed a formal protest, an unprecedented move in such situations, which eventually caused the ruling to be reversed by the Supreme Court, it was too late for Armstrong. With his marriage in shambles, his key patents expired, and his fortune drained by litigation, he jumped out of a 13-story window in the dead of winter of 1954, spiritually trammeled by the very people who profited from his creative endeavors. That Tesla survived such a fate is a testament to his fortitude and transcendent nature. In 1956, there was a celebration of the centenary of Tesla's birth. To highlight the event, with Nobel laureate Niels Bohr as a speaker, a centennial congress was held in Tesla's honor. Simultaneously, the Yugoslav Postal Service issued a commemorative Tesla stamp, and the Yugoslav government placed Tesla on the 100 dinar note, equivalent to a US dollar. Statues of the inventor were placed at museums in Zagreb and Vienna. A school was named after him in Illinois. A Tesla Day was proclaimed in Chicago, and in Munich, the Institute Electrotechnical Committee agreed to adopt the name Tesla as the unit of magnetic flux density. Now Tesla could take his rightful place beside such other luminaries as Ampere, Faraday, Volta, and Watt. 20 years later, as a gift from the Yugoslavian people, in 1976, a statue of Tesla by sculptor Franco Kishinich was placed at Niagara Falls, and an identical companion statue erected on the village square in Gospic, Croatia, where Tesla was raised as a boy. Unfortunately, this Gospic statue was purposely blown apart during the war in 1993. President Tito gave a speech in Tesla's honor in Smiljan before thousands of Croats, Serbs, and Bosnians, who were separated by armed guards and demarcation fences, and the celebration also continued in America. Plaques were posted at the site of his residence at the Hotel Gerlach in New York City and at the Wardenclyffe Laboratory, which still stands at Shoreham, Long Island. In 1983, the U.S. Post Office honored Tesla along with Charles Steinmetz, Philo Farnsworth, and, alas, Edwin Armstrong, in a block of four commemorative stamp. In Boston, a giant Tesla coil can be found at the Museum of Science, and Tesla's picture can be found hanging in the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C. There are also two major organizations in his honor, the Tesla Memorial Society in Lackawanna, New York, and the International Tesla Society, which has held conferences every 2 years since 1984 at the Society's headquarters in Colorado Springs. William White wrote in The Organization Man that as beneficial as the large corporations can be, they are also static, delusory, and self-destructive. During the inevitable conflict between the individual and society, the organization man is caught in a bind because the company provides a livelihood, but at the expense of the worker's individuality. This is what White calls a mutual deception. It is obvious to fight tyranny. It is not easy to fight benevolence, and few things are more calculated to rob the individual of his defenses than the idea that his interests and those of society can be wholly compatible. One who lets the organization be the judge ultimately sacrifices himself. The corporate view becomes the very embodiment of rationality itself, structuring, restructuring, and thereby controlling consciousness. As was the case with the Tesla situation, the more the corporate world rejected the Wardenclyffe idea, the more unworkable it appeared to the engineers working in the industry, because they, as products and extensions of the corporations, had their consciousness shaped by its policies. Ultimately, Tesla's worldview became a threat, and it was easier to dismiss him as an eccentric than consider that his plans may have been viable. A modern example of a famous innovator who became somewhat of a non-person is Steve Jobs, co-founder of Apple Computer. Realizing in the mid-1980s that the Motorola microprocessor was superior for graphics capabilities to the one in the Apple II computer and the one being used by Bill Gates' Microsoft for IBM, Jobs produced the Macintosh. First-generation Macintoshes, which were admittedly unattractive for business use and constructed so that they were not expandable, were not immediate successes in the marketplace. The inferior IBM disk operating system, DOS, was of course the standard. Undeterred, Jobs wanted to scrap the obsolete but highly profitable Apple II to go solely into production of Macs. Even though he was the Wunderkind co-creator of the billion-dollar enterprise, Jobs became a threat to its financial stability. In a stunning move, Jobs was not only deposed, he was literally barred from working at Apple, even though he was still the largest shareholder. A decade later, the Bill Gates IBM-compatible Intel Pentium chip, although endowed with graphics, Windows capabilities, is still based on an inferior design as compared to the Power Mac. Nevertheless, the Gates Intel chip is by far the leading system in the country, even though the Power Mac, by necessity, is the standard in such fields as graphic design. Coyly, Gates said it this way: "People were coming up with completely new operating systems, but we had already captured the volume, so we could price it low and keep selling. And believe me, it would have been a lot easier to write Windows so it didn't run DOS applications. But we knew we couldn't make the transition without that compatibility." Psychoanalysis. Being aware of the criticisms of the Freudian paradigm and the problem of oversimplification, I argued in my doctoral dissertation that in order to explain Tesla's unusual personality, self-proclaimed celibacy, and alleged homosexuality, it is possible that he may have suffered repressed guilt feelings associated with the untimely death of his older brother, Dane, when Tesla was 5 years old. In the throes of the Oedipal complex, and admittedly overattached to his mother, young Niko experienced great trauma, not only because Dane was De Yuka's favorite son, but also because Niko was at that age of gaining his sexual identity and learning to transfer love bestowed upon himself to others. Possibly the mother rejected Tesla after Dane's death, and thus Tesla bestowed the love back upon himself and became narcissistic. Wishing to gain back the perceived loss of love from his mother and lost brother, later in life Tesla would unconsciously seek out figures that would combine the dynamics of older brother-mother surrogates. For example, strong nurturing authority figures such as Westinghouse and Pierpont Morgan. This combination of brother and mother might also explain the confusion associated with Tesla's sexual identity. To recapture their lost love, and in the symbolic sense, to bring the brother back from the dead, for that would be the only way to repair the damage, Tesla would have to form a sacrifice as penance. In Westinghouse's case, he ripped up the royalty clause, and it cost him millions of dollars. He could have set up a deferred payment schedule. And in Morgan's case, the inventor insisted that the financier take the larger share of the partnership, that is, 51%, even when Morgan suggested 50-50. Due, however, to a multitude of personality factors, including egomania, overambition, and his impatient wish to crush the competition, Tesla breached his contract with Morgan by deciding to build a larger tower than was agreed upon. This was a self-destructive move, although it might have succeeded and was also, on another level, simply a calculated risk. From the psychoanalytic standpoint, unconsciously, he was hoping that the financier would forgive his sins, show his surrogate son that he still loved him, by providing him with the additional funds to complete the tower. When Morgan said no, the unconscious could not face such a harsh rejection, so Tesla tried obdurately to turn the man around. And even when it was clear that Morgan would never come through, the self-perceived surrogate son continued to try. Turning to Tesla's persistent wish to contact extraterrestrials, from a psychoanalytic perspective, these outer space entities may have symbolized beings existing in the afterworld. Certainly the need to believe in extraterrestrials is a powerful and popular one. It explains why so many people accepted Percival Lowell's Canals of Mars hypothesis, and in today's world, the extreme popularity of such movies as Star Wars, Star Trek, and E.T. In Tesla's case, the extraterrestrials may have pre-logically stood for his dead brother and mother. The insistence that he had probably been contacted by Martians became an unconscious safety valve which allowed him to hypercathect, release much of the anxiety associated with the death of his older brother, as the brother would still be, in a sense, alive. Thus, if Dane still existed, the trauma of his death would be diminished, and Nico's mother would love him again. This form of regressive behavior could also explain Tesla's obsession with caring for pigeons. After Dane died, the family was wrested from their idyllic farm in Smiljan to the bustling city of Gospic. The pigeons were not only substitute mistresses for Tesla, they also symbolized a return to the utopia of his early and untroubled childhood in Smiljan. As a counter-hypothesis to the psychoanalytic paradigm, and as no solid evidence of homosexuality has been discovered by this researcher, one must place Tesla within his time period. Like William James and other intellects of that day, the idea of dedicating oneself to science at the expense of marriage was not a unique occurrence. Tesla was keenly aware that the responsibilities of marriage would have interfered too greatly with his inventive elan. Purposely, and admittedly through self-denial, he transformed his instincts in the alchemical sense to raise them to a higher level. This view, however, does not completely explain the natural proclivity to partake of the passions, especially when one considers that at his height in the gay 90s, the rising star could probably have had his pick of any number of willing females, for example, Marguerite Merrington. Nor does it explain his over-attachment to the city pigeons. Nevertheless, the Freudian paradigm falls short in its attempts to explain the nature of Tesla's wizardry in that it tends to see this ability as a sublimation rather than an end in itself. Tesla's emphasis on ritual and such obsessions as cleanliness and self-denial were just as much linked to his childhood bouts with cholera caused by impure drinking water as to his wish to change his state of consciousness through a set routine so that he could prepare his mind to do its work. Unlike most inventors, Tesla's creativity did not just lie in one plane. he adapted his mental faculties to a number of separate fields, designing fundamental inventions in lighting, electrical power distribution, mechanical contrivances, particle beam weaponry, aerodynamics, and artificial intelligence. This great versatility of achievement places the inventor in a category all of his own. Ultimately, Tesla was a journeyman searching for the Holy Grail. His goal was nothing short of altering the very direction of the human species through extensions of his effort. Cult figure.
It was the coil that I noticed first, because I had seen drawings like it years ago. Hank, do you understand? Those men long ago tried to invent a motor that would draw static electricity from the atmosphere, convert it and create its own power as it went along. They couldn't do it. They gave it up.
She pointed at the broken shape.
But there is it.
Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. At 8 p.m. on June the 20th, 1957, in the ballroom of the Hotel Diplomat in New York City, the Interplanetary Sessions newsletter announced a meeting to coordinate an expected visit by the space people to the planet Earth. The event was planned by three individuals: George Van Tassel, author of I Rode a Flying Saucer; George King, purported telepathic contactee with extraterrestrials; and Margaret Storm, author of the occult Tesla biography Return of the Dove, a book whose transcripts were received on the Tesla set, a radio-type machine invented by Tesla in 1938 for interplanetary communication. By July the 1st, it was assured that the Martians would have full-scale operations in Washington, D.C., New York, and general North American areas. It was also revealed that Tesla was a Venusian, brought to this planet as a baby in 1856 and left in a remote mountain province in what is now Yugoslavia. In attendance at this meeting was a man who preferred to remain unnoticed. He was an FBI agent assigned to continue the expanding file on the enigmatic Serbian inventor Nikola Tesla. It's quite likely that a copy of this newsletter, which is in the FBI file, was also read by J. Edgar Hoover, a man concerned about the growing interest in the flying saucer phenomena and the secrecy surrounding various adherents. Margaret Storm's supposition that Tesla was born on another planet to give us our entire electric power and mass communication systems stemmed from a colorful history of the inventor's ties to the group fantasy belief that life on Mars was a virtual certainty. Fueled by McCarthyism and the fear of communist, alien infiltration, and also theosophical literature, Storm proclaimed that Tesla had descended from the sixth root race, a new species of human that was evolving on the planet. To complicate matters, she was also friends with Arthur Matthews, author of Wall of Light, Nikola Tesla and the Venusian Spaceship. A bizarre electrician who had once written to Tesla in the 1930s, Matthews contended that he and his supposed employer, Tesla, had traveled many times to nearby planets aboard Venusian spacecraft, and that Tesla, as late as 1970, was still alive, living as an extraterrestrial. Relegated to occult status for many decades, Tesla has also been fictionalized as one of any number of mad scientists in science fiction literature, as part of the composite New Age hero John Galt in Ayn Rand's novel Atlas Shrugged, as a source for future technology in James Redfield's 1996 bestseller The Tenth Insight, and as the extraterrestrial played by rock star David Bowie in the Nicholas Roeg movie The Man Who Fell to Earth. As a cult figure in the United States, Tesla has also seen a panegyric resurgence with the younger generation because of a rock band which goes by the same name. In Japan, however, Tesla's cult status is much more complicated. On the one hand, Dr. Yoshiro Nakamatsu, the world's leading inventor, whose creations include the floppy disk, is a great proponent of Tesla and has created a celebration in Tesla's honor. On the other hand, Tesla's secret weaponry work has also attracted the attention of one of the most dangerous cults of modern times. Just 1 month after the January 1995 earthquake in Kobe destroyed the city and killed 5,000 people, followers of the charismatic psychopath Shoko Asahara, the man responsible for poisoning the subways with sarin gas in Tokyo, flew into Belgrade to infiltrate the Tesla Museum,
with hopes of obtaining the inventor's schematics for his supposed telegeodynamic earthquake machine. Asahara's cult, known as Om Supreme Truth, had an internet of supposedly tens of thousands of members in half a dozen countries, with access to state-of-the-art high-tech devices, a large database of military secrets, firearms and laser apparatus, and other more esoteric New Age weaponry systems. Seeking world domination, their plans were interrupted by the earthquake. Rather than seeing the event as a natural occurrence, Asahara suggested that the Kobe disaster was caused by electromagnetic experiments conducted by one of the Japanese megacorporations, or by American or possibly Russian military tests of a top-secret Tesla telegeodynamic instrument. Raised in a country that had seen its cities destroyed by the atom bomb, Asahara had been influenced by apocalyptic science fiction stories, by the book Tesla Superman, written by Japanese author Masaki Shindo, and by such Tesla files as Lieutenant Colonel Tom Bearden, whose model for the Tesla magnifying transmitter hypothesized that it could be used as an intercontinental electrostatic scalar wave delivery system. Realizing that Armageddon was at hand, the Kobe earthquake being proof of the prophecy, Asahara now planned to seize the high ground by constructing his own Tesla howitzer while at the same time perfecting the death ray. Christopher Evans, in his text Cults of Unreason, suggests that cults appear as stopgaps for people in society, ways for them to deal with life's mysteries and also for the unsettling feeling associated with the rapid pace of our times. According to Evans, cults exist in order to discover the Holy Grail, the supposed secret behind the universe. Tesla himself called his magnifying transmitter the Philosopher's Stone. To him, it was the mechanism by which to transform society and interlink the entire globe. Following a Goethean path, Tesla's Weltanschauung suggests a hierarchy of intelligence to the universe. Not only were his creations derived from natural law, through them humans could attain godlike status and communicate with other interstellar neighbors. According to the idea of esotericism as applied to history, says Russian philosopher P. D. Uspensky, no civilization ever begins of itself. Esoteric schools involve other higher dimensions, says astrologer Dane Rudyard. Certain individuals, often referred to as avatars, Rudyard suggests, are actually seed men, who one way or another have within their being knowledge that can lead a culture into transcendence. Tesla had possession of certain knowledge, which for various reasons was rejected by mainstream science and society or suppressed by powers that perceived his contributions as threatening. Yet the essence of Tesla's work is available for the seeker. Described by popular New Age writer Robert Anton Wilson as an Illuminati, Tesla remains a cult hero because of his esoteric status, because his life's work has served as a template for numerous science fiction characters and cinematic themes, and because he provides answers for those who study his work for its inner meaning. Unlike so many other esoteric figures, however, Tesla is in a unique position because so many of his inventions were incorporated into our modern high-tech world. Had his ultimate world broadcasting plan actually coalesced during his heyday, there is no telling how history might have proceeded and how the quality of our lives might have changed. Appendix A. The Magnifying Transmitter. A Technical Discussion. At the 1990 International Tesla Conference, held in Colorado Springs, Dr. Alexander Marincic, curator of the Tesla Museum in Belgrade, Robert Golker, the only modern electrical engineer to construct large-scale magnifying transmitters, and I were engaged in a conversation on the viability of Tesla's plan. Both Marincic and Golker concurred that Tesla's ultimate plan, that of sending energy around the Earth for industrial purposes, was not practicable. Leyland Anderson, an electrical engineer and Tesla expert for nearly 40 years, agreed. Tesla's experiments at Colorado Springs, according to Anderson, were probably a local effect caused by the fortuitous placement of his tower next to the Pikes Peaks range along a great plain. When Tesla detected lightning discharges and standing waves, he made the incorrect assumption that these waves would encircle the globe. In fact, Anderson wrote, The standing waves Tesla detected were probably unrecognized reinforcement effects rebounding off Pike's Peak, and his generated waves probably did the same thing. His conclusion was based on measurements that electronic scientist Ralph Joler made of thunderstorms occurring along the peak. Two experts who have concluded that the Tesla apparatus was viable are Professor James Corum and Eric Dollard, both designers of transmitting equipment based on Tesla's findings. Dollard writes that the invention, circa 1920, of the multiple-loaded flat-top antenna by Steinmetz's protege Ernst F.W. Alexanderson was really fashioned after those developed by Tesla. One such plant, located at Bolinas, California, sets up a resonant transformer between two separate earth plates and an elevated plate. This arrangement produces three separate types of wireless frequencies: atmospheric induction, antenna transmission, and earth induction. Acting as a virtual ground, the aerial transmitting energy down into the earth sets up standing waves that continuously bounce back and forth between the earth and the reflecting capacitance at a rate tuned to a natural rate of the earth. A simple tuning fork experiment can be used to explain the importance of the ground connection. It resonates much more powerfully when the fork is attached to a ground, such as a table. Due to the conductive property of the earth, individualization of impulse transmission is also facilitated. The electrical energy does not pass through the earth in the ordinary acceptance of the term. It only penetrates to a certain depth according to the frequency. Corum, who holds a doctorate in physics and is a former professor of electrical engineering at West Virginia University, writes, "It has been common in the past to discard Tesla's far-sighted vision as baseless. I believe that such depreciation has stemmed from critics that were uninformed as to Tesla's actual technical measurements and physical observation." Having performed various experiments himself, Corum surmises that Tesla's mathematical results, written in his May 16, 1900 patent application, could have only been obtained as a result of authentic terrestrial resonance measurements. In other words, he concludes that Tesla's claims that he A. measured a terrestrial pulse that rebounded off the antipode of the Earth, and B. calculated the resonant frequency of the Earth, are essentially correct. Looking at the wireless project from the technical point of view, most likely Wardenclyffe was to be set up mainly for the purpose of distributing information and meager amounts of electrical power, just enough to run clocks and stock tickers, but not enough to charge factories. Each tower could act as a sender or a receiver. In a letter to Katherine Johnson, Tesla explains the need for well over 30 such towers. Further, the magnifying transmitter was conceived to transmit electricity in a variety of ways. Tesla could utilize the carrier waves traveling within the Earth, e.g. the Schumann cavity, and or the Earth's geomagnetic pulse. He could transmit frequencies through the air, or he could beam a carrier wave up to the ionosphere and use it for transport. "I will confess that I was disappointed when I first made tests along this line on a large scale. They did not yield practical results. At the time, I used about 8 million to 12 million volts of electricity. As a source of ionizing rays, I employed a powerful arc reflected up into the sky, trying only to connect a high-tension current and the upper strata of the air, because my pet scheme for years had been to light the ocean at night. Central towers, acting much like today's wireless trunkline microwave transmitters for the phone company, could then be hooked up via conventional wires to numerous households within a given radius." World Broadcasting System. "From what I can ascertain, I believe that Tesla's magnifying transmitter in a completed state would have operated as follows. A transmission tower would have been constructed so that its height and ability to radiate electrical oscillations was in a resonant relationship to the size, electronic, and geophysical properties of the Earth. Rather than utilize transverse electromagnetic waves exclusively, Tesla would be utilizing longitudinal waves, such as those found in the impulses transmitted by earthquakes and by sound. The gigantic Tesla coil was also calculated to take into account the wavelength of light. In other words, the length of the wires wound in the transformer were in a harmonic relationship to the distance light would travel in a given time. With the production of standing waves resonant with the planet, Nodal points on the Earth's surface were also plotted out. A tremendous charge, in excess of 30 million volts and in harmonic